Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana. And today we have a lot to talk about, including some great pop culture stories to discuss. But first, I have to say, I was listening to the Diet Starts Tomorrow episode with the both of you on it. And I really like the conversation, especially when you guys are together. I'm always like, I have something to say. Like, I can't.
Should we do a threesome episode?
Yeah. Maybe. That'll be fine. But I guess this.
Isn't that this podcast?
No, but about food. We'll do an app that just takeover of Diet Starts Tomorrow.
That, haven't we?
No, that'd be so fun.
I've been on it maybe
when
in the past.
Sammy and I would interview you, but that would be a different conversation because then we'd all just be talking.
Okay, while we're talking about food, I literally can't stop thinking about you said food. Well, wait, what were you going to say first?
I was going to say that I really thought your conversation about being lazy was very interesting. And now, because I wasn't on the podcast, I'm going to add in my own thoughts. If you haven't listened to that episode, it's the most recent episode of Diet Starts Tomorrow with Sammy and Aileen. Is it subscription?
I think it's subscription.
I think that's the subscription one.
Well, you should subscribe then because I'm a subscriber.
It's DST back for seconds.
Like Rebel Wilson for you up.
Exactly. You should subscribe. And you guys are talking about being lazy. And I remember talking to my therapist about that same thing. And he said something that I thought was really interesting, which is like, there's no such thing as lazy. It's just unmotivated. So it's like, instead of like telling yourself you're lazy and you can't do this and it's about you, it's more like, why am I not motivated to do this? And like looking at that reason, either changing your motivation or changing the thing you want to do because you're never going to be motivated to do it. And I just thought that was like a much better way to phrase laziness, more optimistic.
Also saying like you're feeling unmotivated versus like you or you're feeling lazy, like it's rather than like you are, and then it just like becomes your persona, which it like did for so long because I just kept getting told that I was, even though like I'm so not.
No, I wouldn't say any of us are like lazy. I mean, I guess here's the thing. Also, I don't think it's like a binary thing. I think it's like
sometimes
feeling,
you are.
Yeah. Or I'm lazy when it comes. Fine. I'm lazy when it comes to like putting my shit away. Like I'm very disorganized. Right. Or in my mind, fine. I'm unmotivated.
You procrastinate.
Yeah. I'm unmotivated to put my shoes away. But like in a different area, maybe I'm not.
Is that really even like laziness, though? I almost feel like there are certain words that are, they're sort of like 90s words. Like they're charged with, they're charged with
so
this
chewy.
Like, it was like, they're charged with this like almost like boomer-esque definition of them. And they
give me another example.
Like heavy. No, that's not really a good, that is a boomer-esque word, but that's not a good example. Hold on. Let me think of spoiled. Like you're spoiled. So like you have all these like parents who would call their kids spoiled, but it's like they didn't just, it's not genetic to be spoiled. Like you're not brunette, you know, so it's like there's these sort of like very like almost moralistic terms that I feel like were kind of really used in our childhood that have this like really negative charge to them. And it's like if you're lazy or you're like, you know, spoiled.
Overachiever.
What?
Overachiever.
Yeah,
that's
overachiever.
A good one,
yeah.
Well, no,
like,
it has negative connotation.
It.
Yeah. Right. It's like
there's
oh.
these sort of like terms that make you feel like you have like failed morally, I think, in some way. And when in reality, like they sort of just skip over the reason why someone might be unmotivated. Like unmotivated is such a less charged word than lazy.
Right. And it doesn't make it about you. It makes it about the thing that you're feeling unmotivated about. Do you know what
it
I mean?
It just feels more personal. Temporary. And like more temporary. Like it's not like you are inherently lazy. Whereas I feel like some of these terms
of
make you feel inherently something. You know, inherently like you're a little piggy kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're saying.
Like Veruca Salt.
Bossy is one. You're bossy.
It's like all these put down words for women.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Basically. Anyway.
How'd that happen?
Well, I know.
Boys can be spoiled too.
But you didn't usually hear boys
you don't
being
hear that about,
called spoiled.
You don't hear spoiled brat about boys.
I guess. But then you hear like other negative words about boys. Like you're a little terrorist.
That's true.
Maybe. That's not.
You're a terrorizer.
Yeah.
A menace.
But, which is also probably not a good thing to instill. Like, they're both kind of like.
Totally.
Not bad. I guess the moral is watch what you call your kids.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, maybe being careful to like use words that sort of like mean that they are inherently that quality versus something that can be more passing or like correct.
Right.
I'm glad you listened to DST non-parents.
That's parenting by Sammy and me. Yeah. And Eileen's like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
All the parenting shit is like literally like 180 from all the stuff that we did,
right.
Our parents did.
I always found it weird when parents would call kids spoiled because it's like, you're actually just insulting what you did.
Yeah.
You spoiled them.
You spoiled
them. They didn't like come out of the womb like requesting 75 Hanukkah presents. Speaking to nobody. Like.
Speaking not from experience.
Yeah. For a friend.
Okay. Like, let's talk about other things. Like, things that are going on in our lives. First of all, it is so hot outside.
Oh my God.
A fucking heat storm.
What do you think is the ideal temperature outside?
Like, have we run out of topics?
No, I'm just wondering because sometimes I feel like I'm just in this swing of like, it's too cold and it's too hot. Like, what is the like...
Are we talking about on vacation or...
This is the perfect day. Well, what? How does it change?
75, no winds.
Overachiever, she's raising her hand. Sorry.
75, no wind. No wind. Or 78 to 80 with a nice light breeze.
It depends if my plans are the beach.
Yeah.
Or like...
Beach,
I want to go walk.
Low 80s are good, I think.
The 70 to 80 range is safe. Is a safe range, and then
that's
other
good,
factors can
70, 80, like great for like I'm frolicking around the city.
I'll go with a 76.
Okay, yeah. So I think we're all in the same range.
Low,
you know,
humidity.
Maybe the differences are due to our own inherent body temperatures. You know,
possible.
Like you like it. Who knows?
But it's just like so humid, and it's like hard to breathe outside.
Yeah, I went out at 7:30 this morning to get my ovaries checked, and and it was. Sweltering. I was like, how is it so hot at this hour already?
I went for a walk and I like on my Apple Watch, I checked my heart rate and it was so high because it was so fucking hot.
I feel like it's been a very hot summer, right?
Yeah.
It's just been
the
hot
UK,
also. I don't, yeah. And in the
hit
UK,
like a record.
I'm excited. I'm going to Chicago for the UP show on Monday and it's going to be like in the range we just talked about. So not
that's
to brag.
Great.
But
not to brag about the weather that you
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy. For my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose. Their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. Let's talk about some pop culture. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
I think the biggest headline news in news or pop culture news is that J-Lo and Ben Affleck got married, like actually married in Vegas. And she released her statement on her subscription newsletter.
As you do.
On the J-Lo. And I clicked it and like the branding was very interesting to me. It was like a Subway. Like the letters J-L-O were like Subway letters. Like the
I thought that looked cool.
And it
She's
was
Jenny
like
from the block.
Yeah, but it was like very interesting branding. Like I felt it was like something like, you know,
not her aesthetic.
Yeah, it's just like she just designed it and then posted it.
I was more like weirded out that she like posted a newsletter like along with her wedding announcement, but the wedding was like this Vegas wedding. There were a lot of things that I had to absorb, but in a weird way, I'm like not as interested as I thought I could be, but I do think she looked gorgeous. Like I was just like, you are the most beautiful woman I think maybe ever. That was yeah, that was basically my impression yeah, of
she looked really. Also, she looked so happy.
Yes,
he genuinely. Was making some weird faces. I thought in the pictures in, like, the bathroom that she posted. Mirror, yeah. I wasn't into like the vibe I was getting from him, but she looked great. She looked really happy. Elaine, do you remember when you thought it was a PR stunt? Do you still think it's a PR stunt?
No, no, I feel it's real.
Even though she was trying to get newsletter subscribers.
Mistaken. Well, no, I think that they're in love. Like that message she wrote to her newsletter subscribers on the JLo, whatever. I thought it was very sweet. Like it sounded like sincere, and it seemed like she wrote it.
It's sort of I agree, but it did also sort of remind me like one of the letters that like Big would have emailed to Carrie that he actually just like copied and pasted from the Book of Love Letters. It did give me that.
I wonder what they talk about.
I don't know, but they were together before when they were like much younger. So I imagine that there's definitely some conversations that are happening.
They must really connect.
Yeah, it's like so sweet. I thought there was a tweet that was really funny that was like, maybe the Baffleck marriage will reset the timeline and set us back to 2004.
Like, that would
you know,
be great.
Like Marvel right. is like, there's all this like multiverse, like switching the timelines. Like it will correct the timeline. Like that's what
that'd be funny. That'd be a good movie. I think it was very interesting that she changed her name.
Agree.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how you know it's real and not a publicity stunt. Although she didn't technically change her name. You can't just like change it.
She like well, she put it on the form.
Yeah. But I mean, I did that, but you don't have to like go through a bunch of other stuff to like fully legally do it. But she seems to be like, at least I almost think the public taking of the name is a bigger
deal
than the legal changing of the name.
Agreed. Is she going to be J-Lo Affleck?
Affleck. Well, she
Jennifer
is.
Jennifer Affleck. Did Jennifer Garner change her name? Is she Jennifer? Is it her too, Jennifer Afflecks?
No, she's still Garner. No, she didn't.
I just feel like they're so different, Jennifer Garner and Jennifer Lopez.
Maybe he needed to go to one extreme to see that he really liked, you know, the original extreme that he had.
Jennifer Garner helped him like kind of, you know, calm down, I think, and like find himself. I think this is all speculation, but from the timeline of his, you know, relationships and all of that stuff, he seemed like he became sober after their divorce and all of that stuff, and then brought him back to J-Lo Affleck. Because like, I think we talked about this when J-Lo and Jennifer were together the first time, they like weren't so established in their careers. Jennifer, like if you watch the Netflix special, did you watch it?
No.
She like is trying to like prove herself over and over again. Like, and they kept like not choosing her and like not taking her seriously. And then Geely came out and it was like top worst movie of time. And they were together. They like met there.
Yeah.
And
she was really good in Hustlers.
Well, that was the movie. The movie was about the fact that like she got really snubbed from the Oscars. She didn't even get nominated, right?
Yeah.
And she was really good. And her like,
she was good in Made in Manhattan, so frankly.
She was good in fucking Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
She's good in the movie. She's just not like, I don't know if I, like, I haven't seen Hustlers, so I'm going to, maybe I should before making any judgment, but I just don't think of her as like the Oscar type of actress. I think of her as like the rom-com.
Yeah. I thought the movie was good, but I didn't get Oscar vibes from that movie, right? Like it was.
Well, I think that's because it's not like typical Oscar bait. But I think regardless, I think let's say J-Lo Affleck is a triple threat. And I would say acting is her third ranked threat. Like I would say dancing, singing, and acting.
I would rank like that too. Yeah.
Totally.
Like, and that's okay. Like, but she can clearly still act. She can.
I think she's a performer. She can pull it off. Like, I think the top thing is that she's a performer. And like what was the most memorable part of that movie was her performance, like when she was on the pole. Like that was the most memorable part. And she like showed how like that was really difficult to do. And I don't think a lot of actresses would be able to do that. If she wasn't J-Lo, she wouldn't be able to.
But you'd I mean, think about like Catherine Zeta-Jones won an Oscar for Chicago because of her dancing. Like that wasn't really because of her, like her dancing and singing. That wasn't really because of her like acting, you know?
I guess you're right.
Like maybe. She hasn't won a like an acting award. Well, I think also Chicago is like more respected because it's like.
The story.
You know, it's it's more famous. And also like the topic, the subject matter, like. That's why people like think the Oscars is like so elitist, because a movie like Hustlers or a movie that isn't doesn't I mean,
it's
sort
absolutely
of,
elitist. All the award shows are.
The Oscars is the most elitist of them.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
It really is.
Like the Golden Globes is a little more like chill, I think.
Yeah, they have TV and like drama and comedy, and they really have more respect for the different trades, I think. The Golden Globes. I've always enjoyed the Golden Globes more, also because they like sit at tables, you can tell they're having fun. The Oscars is like, I mean, it's the coolest one, obviously, but, you know, not
it's
as fun.
Stuffy as fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like the idea of prestige, or like the fact that it is the most prestigious, kind of means it has to be stuffy. And I think that I like kind of like that. It makes me feel safer. Like
prestige and stuffiness.
Yes. Like I think about that with like holding office. Like the White House should be a little stuffy. I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be like a People wild magazine. Circus. Yeah, I don't want it to be like people to be dressed like they're going to the VMAs at the White House. Like, I like a little stuffiness for things that are feel like a little bit more, I don't know, serious. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, because like stuffiness connotes like respect and structure in some ways. Like there's a hierarchy, there's like a process. I totally get why it's more serious.
But it's not. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Right. I think the issue with like stuffiness and like pretension and like prestige is that like it's often sort of just like conflated with like whiteness and white maleness, and that's
very white.
And so you can't like, I mean, you talk about like hairstyles for like people of color, like that wouldn't be like that's part of like why that's racist because like, oh, the professional way is sort of just like the natural white way.
And that's the whole thing with the Oscars, and they snubbed her. She says, like, oh, like, I do a movie that people really respected. My performance was respected, and still I was snubbed because I'm Latina. While you can sort of, you know, kind of like, well, I'm not so sure, but then you see her entire, like, kind of history in that movie, in the Netflix movie, you kind of see her point, like, time and time again. She's, like, seen as this, you know, kind of ass, you know?
And then also, like, there are definitely movies that like get nominated for Oscars that are like not as engaging or likable as something like Hustlers, where people are like, this is a really good movie. I really liked it. And there's almost sort of like prestige in it being like boring or inaccessible. And if something
it's
is like
critics'
mass
choice
media,
versus audience choice in terms of like Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Right.
But like Titanic, for example, critics liked it. Maybe that's not even a good, whatever. Like a movie that, you know, everyone says like, oh, that should have won the Oscar. Like, I mean, critics Parasite liked it and the audience liked it, you know?
The high Rotten Tomato score on both is what we want the Oscar winners to be.
Yes.
What was Hustler's critics' Rotten Tomato score?
Let's check.
It's crazy how much power Rotten Tomatoes has over my life. Like, I will not, I have like a threshold.
I don't really follow it that much anymore.
Really? I will not watch commit to a movie unless I look at the score.
Interesting re-Hustlers. It had 87 tomato meter and a 65 audience score.
Lower audience score than Interesting.
Interesting.
Okay. The other thing is that like Rotten Tomatoes, the score is not necessarily like, it's based on reviews. It's not on critics' reviews. Not like,
yeah.
So I don't know if it's not as probably like as accurate a number as, you know what? I don't want to come for the Rotten Tomatoes algorithm before I know it.
It's as accurate as it could be because these are opinions.
Right.
That's true. It's like basically like favorable or unfavorable. And I think that's how they like put it together. Do you remember? I remember Get Out for a while, like in the beginning when it came out, that was their big commercial like selling point, like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, 100%, which was a great movie.
Did you see Jordan Peele has a new movie? I think it's coming out today or tomorrow.
What
it's called
it?
Nope.
Oh,
and it's another horror movie. And it's supposed to be, it got, I think, people
I
are really liking it.
For that.
Yeah.
Does it look good?
I didn't see like what it's about, but I'm going to watch it because I think he's a really good director and I just want to like watch it because it's him. I also saw someone tweet like yesterday, like, I think Jordan Peele should be considered the best horror director because he has three horror movies and all three in a row were outstanding. Which, and I agree with that. Get Out. And then the second one was Us.
Us I liked a lot.
Us. And then this is Nope. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, Pam. Yeah. And then Nope.
Nope is supposed to be really the third. Intense. That's really good.
I saw a preview in the theater, and that's where it was really intense.
I haven't been to a movie theater in so long.
I'm too scared to watch that in the theater, but I do want to watch it.
I know it's almost scary to watch at home because it's like enters your safe place.
Right.
Yeah. I don't watch any horror movies in front of my face. I don't either, but this, I don't know. When I think horror movie, I think like, I don't know, Nightmare on Elm Street. But what I like about his movies is that they're more like, there's like thinking horror. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Get Out
is not shock. There's
it's
a message.
A thriller.
What did I see in the movie theater? I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's what I saw in the theater.
I heard that was really good.
I think we talked about it, that like it was confusing and then it was really good. It like switched on you.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about, having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's talk about some TV because I feel like there's been like some really good shows coming out. Like I love when there's a momentum of shows, but then I get like overwhelmed because I can't keep up, but it's still nice. But yeah, I feel like there has been some good shows that came out recently. Have you guys watched anything?
People have been talking about The Bear, which I haven't watched.
Oh, I watched that. That was going to be the one that I was going to say. I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to hear what you think about that.
Also.
And then, and The Rehearsal.
Also stop that one, yeah.
Rehearsal.
I stopped that one.
I was intrigued by it.
I will give The Rehearsal another shot.
I feel good that you stopped it. I feel
Rehearsal,
better.
It's only 30 minutes, right? 45 minutes?
Yeah. Well, I first wasn't in the headspace to watch it. I need to try it again. But I was really excited to watch it because what I'd read about it, it seemed really good or interesting or unique or captivating. But I just couldn't get into it when I first tried it. What about you?
My experience of watching it was, I don't know what the fuck I'm watching. Is this real? Is this fake? And then I like,
is it real or fake?
It's real.
Okay. That makes it worse for me. Sorry.
And it was like, so I was reading, I was like, what am I watching? And I like Googled Nathan Heller. Is that his name?
Fielder.
Nathan Fielder. And he just like makes things really, really awkward. And I was like, okay, that makes sense because I'm deeply uncomfortable. And it was just like very interesting. But the end was like kind of a nice, kind of like, it was like a very subtle punchline. And it was like good, but I can't see myself being obsessed with the show whatsoever. Like, I don't understand being obsessed with it, but he is so deadpan funny where it's like he doesn't at all, like he just leaves room for awkwardness, like without any, like just, he just stares at you.
What is it about? I clearly didn't get that far.
I mean, the whole premise is that he like rehearses, he comes into people's like home or like situations and they have, they're dealing with a dilemma and like whether they want to tell someone something, but they're so afraid to do, or, you know, there's someone, they have to talk about something and they're really scared about the outcome. So Nathan comes in and recreates, like sort of makes a rehearsal for that scenario, and they map out every possible like outcome and situation, okay, makes them practice it.
He's a problem solver.
In a way, but there's like a lot of, there's really, really, like you have to pay attention to like it at all. It's not like action oriented whatsoever. It's all in like the subtleties, which is what I assume make it quote good, but you have to pay attention. Like you cannot be on your phone. You miss, it's not about what happens. It's really about like how it happens.
Maybe I'll try it again.
It's, I'm going to wait for the next episode.
Would you, do you think I'll, do you think I should try it again? Would you recommend?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try it again. I think you have to be in the right place to, you can't be like, oh, I'm looking for a casual show so I can scroll, yeah, Instagram while I'm watching it. Like you have to actually want to watch.
It's like the absorb. Opposite of like the show Persuasion or something, like the movie Persuasion. Did you watch that on Netflix?
I didn't.
With Dakota Johnson?
It got very bad Rotten Tomatoes scores, so I did not watch it.
I kept hearing that it was bad, but then Dakota Johnson was really good. And like my mom said that, she was like, oh, she was so surprising. I remember in 50 Shades of Grey, my mom's favorite movie. And I was like, I was like, okay, maybe I'll watch it. It was like very short and it's a movie. And I love like the kind of like, you know, we love.
What's it called? Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. And I just, I love like Jane Austen stuff. Yeah. And like the last one that was done with Dakota Fanning, Elle Fanning, excuse me. What was that one? She redid like Clueless. Elle, what's a movie?
Emma. Was she the person who was in that? I thought that was
I think the new one.
I think Emma was, what's her name? No, the one who's in Thoroughbreds.
You're right.
Anna Taylor-Joy.
You're right. I don't know why I thought of Elle Fanning.
Oh, I didn't like Emma. I watched it on a plane. I thought it was very boring.
Oh, I liked it. There's nothing better than Pride and Prejudice though.
Yeah, I tried to watch Pride and Prejudice. Like I even rented it from iTunes because you guys always talk about it. And I'm like, okay, I didn't like it in high school.
Maybe did you read the book, Sammy? Did you even read the book?
No, I did not. I didn't read the book because I thought it was boring. I thought the book, I didn't read the book because I remember we like had to read in school. I was like, this is so boring. I don't like this book.
I didn't read the book.
And what I think is that I maybe
I read it many times.
This might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't think I like Jane Austen stuff. Like, no offense to her, obviously.
Quite slow.
I've tried it. That's the thing. Like, I've tried it a few times and I'm just not connecting. Maybe it's just not my thing.
I think if you're very into like romantic, it's kind of like subtle in like the romantic relationship development. And also, it's like a period piece. So you get like a lot of the...
That's what I didn't love about Persuasion. Like it was really quick and Dakota Johnson was just like, didn't fit entirely. Like there was a line where she was like, he's a 10. I'm like, nobody would say this in Jane Austen. Like
that's what they did that on purpose. They like,
I know,
tried
but
to
I didn't
it.
Like it. I didn't like that. I didn't
you
enjoy
want it to
that.
Be period if it's in the period.
And like the main guy that he like reminded me of like the guy, the alien from Men in Black. Like he wouldn't move his neck. I just like was confused. But I don't know. It was very superficial. But Dakota Johnson was really pretty to watch. That was really, I think.
The only movie I've liked her in is it The Daughter? Is that the one? Yeah.
Favorite Daughter.
No, it's just, I don't think it's The Favorite Daughter. It's with she's with, what's her face?
Oh, Favorite is a different movie with Olivia Colman.
That's a period piece.
I love
this
that
is just
movie.
The Daughter with
There's Olivia Colman also.
Olivia Colman, yes. Olivia Colman's daughter.
Lost daughter,
yes.
Favorite daughter. It's two movies.
I thought that movie was like really good. I don't know why.
The Lost Daughter?
Yeah.
It was really good, but I just thought like something else would happen. But I did cry several times. It was depressing. But anyway, Persuasion, is all right.
Okay. I'm watching Stranger Things from the beginning.
Oh.
Do you like it?
I thought I had tried watching it like when it first started and I didn't like it. But then I went back and I watched it with Mike. We ran out of TV and it's really good.
Yeah.
I get it now. It's weird to get the hype like 5 years after everyone else has already gotten the hype. Do you know what I mean?
Avi actually just started watching it. So that just jogged my memory. But also he has just started watching Gossip Girl from season one.
Oh, wow.
And every night we watch one episode, but he falls asleep before it ends. So I have now watched Blair and Chuck having sex for the first time four nights in a row. Like, and I also have seen that show like a thousand
it's
times.
So funny.
I remember at Cornell, like, I feel like going to your room to watch Gossip Girl. You were like one of those people who like made sure that like you had like a watching party or a watching gathering.
Right, which is why the fact that he's making me watch it every night, and I've now literally seen the first, the Thanksgiving episode that really got me into like eating disorders in kind of a bad way. I've now watched that episode several times. Yeah, it's a lot. And he's like, I really hate Blair Waldorf. I'm like, well, that's a problem.
That's Sammy's idol.
I was like, listen, she used to be my idol.
Why don't you just tell him, and I have this problem with Mike, where I'm like, if you're falling, I'm like, I don't want to watch this episode five times. If you're falling asleep, say, let's turn it off. Let's turn it off. And then we'll watch it when you're not falling asleep, because I don't want to watch it while you're asleep and then rewatch it later.
Right.
I have this problem every goddamn night because he's like,
like you look over really, and you're already sleeping. You're like, what the fuck?
He's like, yeah.
He, I'll pause it. Are you sleeping? And you're like, no.
I'm up.
Right. Because I'm the one who's like in this room because like this is where I work. And then he like, you know, comes in to go to bed. And he's like, can we change the channel? And I'm like, really? So you can fall asleep in 5 minutes and then I'll still be awake doing the exact same thing. So, and then he also keeps the remotes on his side. So I'm like, listen, you got to keep the remotes in the middle because you fall asleep in 1 second and I'm going straight back to either Beverly Hills or MSNBC. Like,
there is no in between.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the days though, like watching like good shows with your girlfriends.
HBO Sunday when you used to watch it, like.
But like watching shows with your partner, whatever.
Depends
it's not
on the
same.
Yeah. I think watching a movie with your significant other is better because it's like you don't have to be on the same page for as many days to get through the show.
Right.
Like you can just sit and be like, we're watching this in this time and like it's our event. But like now this Gossip Girl thing is getting.
Those were the days.
He's got, remember in college, we would have everyone over to watch Sunday HBO together in our apartment.
Empire.
Bored to Death.
Yes. Bored to Death. Curb. And we ordered boneless wings.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
And corn nuggets.
Right, corn nuggets. Disgusting.
Jack's corn nuggets.
When I went back to visit Cornell like a few years ago, I tried them again. They were disgusting.
Yeah.
And I'm not the kind of person who's like anti-gross food, obviously. They were gross.
So it was like the gas station mac and cheese that I got.
What gas
station? I don't even remember. Sammy, you probably took me there at some point. I don't know. It was some place that I got, I really liked the mac and cheese there. And then I went back as like, I think at one of the reunions and I was like, this is disgusting.
What gas station are you talking about?
I loved our Shabbat dinners.
Yeah, those were nice.
Yeah, those were so fun. We could still do that. You
know what was really disgusting? Yeah, someone could have a dinner party. That's like a dinner party.
We have apartments.
I'll have a dinner party.
You know what's real? I discovered this when I was on the UUP 2019 tour. I got, what's that? The sandwich place. What is it?
Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's is actually kind of gross.
I know. They really overdo it with the bread. So much
it's
bread
not good.
Compared to.
We used to love it.
I used to get those wraps.
They used to come immediately. That was also
lettuce
like
wraps.
A big. That was
yeah,
a big
like in 10 time minutes. Time and we were them. Trying to figure it out. Like, how do they have a truck outside our apartment?
It really was incredible. I think they were using bikes, is now what I'm realizing.
Where was the factory?
Yeah, like, where was the factory? There's one on every corner.
There was only like 7 sandwiches. They probably had a cooler with like a million sandwiches in them, and they would just drive around to whoever
was just
ordering.
Just like one guy, Jimmy.
And John.
John was the delivery guy. Jimmy was making the food, and they were just like a 2-man operation with a bike and a truck.
Yeah, to this day, I can't believe we're still trying to figure
it out. Wait, okay, back to shows. Okay, one other show that I didn't think I would be obsessed with, but Severance. Sammy, I watched it too late.
I liked it. No one's discussed this with me. I watched this months ago.
I just turned it on over like the end of last week. And I could not, it was slow, but I could not stop watching it.
Really?
It's creepy.
And I loved it. It was like a creepy mystery. And I was like, it was weird to like experience liking the characters, both sides of a character as if they were like one person. It was really so, I liked it so much more after I watched it than even while I was watching. I was like, oh my God, this show. And then the end, I was so pissed it was the end.
The end is really good. Yeah. I was like, to be honest, I was a little bored for the first part. Mike really loved it.
That's so what I'm saying. It was so slow.
Yeah.
But I couldn't stop watching it.
The end got very, very interesting.
The second half was really good. Yeah. But wow, that was a show. I think it's going to should win some Emmys.
I really like him. Who is he?
Adam
Scott. I like him a lot. He's very good.
Wait, can you tell us about the bear? I'm really curious because I keep seeing it.
The bear
everywhere.
I really enjoyed because I also love Lip from another word that's escaping me. Shameless. Thank you so much. I didn't finish Shameless because it got too crazy.
It did that Showtime thing.
Yeah. It went off the deep end. But I loved Lip. He was very attractive and I enjoyed watching him. And I love restaurant shows because I love Top Chef. So this was and the script was actually really good. And it's very fast paced. It reminded me a little bit of Uncut Gems, but not as chaotic.
Uncut Gems.
And I loved the restaurant setting. Actually, I loved that shit. And it was just really good. And it showed the other side of being a chef, which I've heard from Rusty's friend who is a chef, how not of a good workplace environment. It's very abusive, all this stuff. And it kind of talks about that. And I really, really enjoyed that. And it was just really good. It was short, sweet. One of the main characters, the girl, she was quippy and I really enjoyed her. It was just a good show. I really liked it.
Okay, I love a good show.
That's on FX. I watched it on your account, Tammy, because I can't log into my Hulu. So it's on under Samantha. So you'll see it's all watched.
Okay, good. I'll just go back to the beginning. I would have assumed it was my mother.
Sammy, who is Granby on your Hulu account?
That's Eileen.
Oh my gosh. No. It's not Eileen. No. It's okay. You know when we went to Colorado and
I use Sammy's Hulu account.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, it's Jordana. Yeah. When we're on Peacock, I see Alexa.
Well, I mean, I used to just use the one under Samantha. And then Aileen was like, I'm on Aileen's HBO account. I'm on a lot of people's accounts. I'm on Aileen's HBO account. You're like, you got to make your own. She's like, yeah, she's very excited about making your own username.
HBO is the only account that is mine. That only me and Avi have profiles.
I've reached max
Netflix,
users.
Netflix, Peacock, Hulu, all of that is shared.
Wait, Granby.
Okay, remember when we went to Colorado and we stayed in that house, in that Airbnb? Clearly, we never logged out because someone
went to Colorado.
Remember when Avi and I lived in Colorado for a month?
Oh, yeah.
During the pandemic. Okay.
I totally forgot that you did that.
Okay. So that is I guess we kept ourselves logged in there because that house is.
They made themselves a username?
I don't know. Granby
was
the name of the town. Maybe respectful, or did they get annoyed that I kept, or did they not like that I was
going to the show? Is it respectful, or are you stealing your Netflix? Are they violating your Netflix, your Hulu account?
I don't know if they're still using it, but I just kind of ignore it at this point. Change the password.
Yeah, but that'd be too much
for
all of
us. I'll have to tell all of you. I don't have to remember it.
You've had this password forever.
Keep the password.
That's Granby. Just this random Airbnb.
I think it is respectful.
When someone helps them, but it's not respectful if they don't ask and they make themselves.
Well, maybe they didn't know it was yours. It was just maybe that. Maybe
they thought theirs.
Maybe they thought it was the head of the house who has the Hulu, and then they saw the people. Right. They're like, oh, maybe I just make a new thing and I don't ruin the other people's watching thing.
Maybe we can use it to get, a maybe free week or something in the Airbnb and we can all go and use my.
It's just funny that they help themselves to a username.
Because they probably didn't want the thing to happen where you watch something and then it messes up that the.
But they're not, it's your account. They shouldn't be on it, right?
I don't know if it's the people who own the house that's on it or if it's whoever's staying there is now just using it as the house account. I'm really into cybersecurity, as you can tell.
I think you just let it go.
Well, do you remember in college we would just give out the password to get into the passcode to get into their building?
Yeah, just didn't
maybe
give
we're
a fuck.
Too trusting is the problem.
No, I wasn't.
Aileen's not too trusting. I wouldn't call Aileen too trusting.
Okay. Maybe I am too trusting is the problem.
Anyway, that's really funny because the place is called Granby. So they just helped them. That's
the
funny.
The town is called Granby. No, the town is called Granby Ranch, Colorado.
Yeah, so they just really just made themselves account for the Airbnb people. You were providing free Hulu to anybody who stays at that Airbnb.
Listen, it was a great Airbnb, and I would love to do a girls trip there one day, and maybe they will allow that due to our generosity.
Yeah.
Do you ever check the account to see what they watch?
We're going on a trip. No. We're going on a trip. Oh, we are going on a trip. Yeah. We're going sort of to that area. We're going to Park City.
Remember? Oh, yeah, we're going.
You have a ticket booked. I know. Where are we going?
I'm actually speaking to the we're doing a little founder weekend at Stein Erickson in Park City, and I'm actually working on our itinerary tomorrow. You know,
maybe we'll fly three Betch Airlines.
we already booked Delta.
Yeah, we already booked a non Betch Airlines trip.
When we can't get three Betch Airlines, Delta.
Aileen would never fly an airline run by us.
Even if it were run by her.
Yes, even if it was run by her, I still don't think she would do it.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Why don't we just get a plane and call it Three Betch Plane?
I mean, speaking of airlines and planes, should we talk about Kylie's double plane situation?
I'm totally joking about getting the plane, climate lovers. Don't worry.
I would never. I could never.
I'm saying. I know. Aileen, I feel like even if she could
afford it,
she would not be ever flying or helicoptering anywhere. I don't think. Never. I don't see you doing any of that shit.
I did helicopter. I wouldn't either. In New Zealand, right. On a glacier.
Not like frequently. I can see. I feel like that would not be.
I mean, like unless I'm on the like I'm an Succession? Actress on Succession.
If
feels more safe to just fly. I mean, if you're going to spend all that money, it would feel more safe to me to fly like first class and then do that new thing they have, which is called like private suite. It's basically like they turn your commercial flight into like a private flight by you just go straight to this like place where it's like a special security, a special customs, and they like walk you or drive you to the plane directly. And like you board like with your luggage and they pick you up and do it. And like you get off the same way. So it's kind of like private, but on the commercial flight, it's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly expensive. But I'm saying it's even if you do that and you do, I mean, I've never done this, but even if you do that and you fly first class, it's definitely cheaper and probably maybe safer than the private flight.
Yeah, yeah. Private planes, no bueno.
Kylie has two planes, or I guess she has one and Travis has one.
She posted a picture of them boarding in that airplane tarmac and airport tarmac with their two planes, you know, lovingly parked next to each other. And she posted it and saying like, you know, which one? What did she post?
Yours or mine?
Yours or mine. And like people went after her.
It's very
it's beyond obnoxious. Yes. Like you could just not. And then and
get on the plane.
Like just get on. Like just decide. You don't need to, you don't need the people to vote for like which plane should I go
in
on?
In this economy, Kylie.
Cause she's like pointing out, like, first of all, everyone knows that you both have a plane. It's like the
it's tacky.
It's the showing of it that's like so ugh. It's maybe she was like, oh my God, they're parked next to each other. That never happens. Like, I don't know, maybe.
Send it to your friends.
How fortuitous.
Yeah, put it on your close friends.
Yeah.
The other thing, so then after that, like, she apparently went to Target. And like, people are calling her out for like, you know, trying to compensate for that. But I don't really think it compensates.
No, she flew. She took a 3-minute flight, a 3-minute private flight. That's like way worse.
To Target?
I'm not sure if it was to Target.
30, but I think it was like 35 minutes. No,
no, 3 minutes.
Or it was like, yeah, because it was like 35 miles away or something. She took a plane somewhere.
Take a fucking Uber.
She's done that a few times, I think.
She has 15 people who could probably drive her. Like, I don't,
she doesn't
that
want to waste
disgusting.
Her time.
It's also like, where do you even like park the plane? Like, how do you, don't you have to, how close are you getting to the thing that you can, if the plane is even efficient?
I liked reading the comments on that. It was like, what are we recycling for?
Kylie? Yes, I agree. Like,
I mean, that's how I feel in general. Like,
give me back my straws, Starbucks.
Yeah. Like, go after that. Kylie.
The other thing that, wait, that also reminds me of Succession. Because when they go, like, remember when in like the last negotiations where they were like, you know, you
no
have
private
to,
planes.
You no private planes like by the company, and they were like, what? No. That was like gonna ruin the negotiation. They're like, you can still fly private and just not on the company. They're like, no fucking way. It's really funny. But anyway, then after that I saw a headline where it's like Kris Jenner has to step in because she's worried about Kylie's like lavish spending. Like she's spending so much money. So then I was thinking, I don't know, who knows if
spoiled
that's true.
Brat.
Yeah. Who knows if that's true? So then I was like just imagining in my head, like, what is she spending so much money on? Like, what do you imagine is like her day-to-day spending?
Well, my question is like, not I can imagine what she's spending it on, but wasn't she always spending like, why now? Why?
Well,
why
I think it's
sperm?
Just, it's like a cleanup job. Like, you know, Kris comes in and she's just a kid.
Well, also she was, you know, when they sold the brand to Coty, it was like the self-made billionaire days. And maybe she doesn't have as much liquidity as she's spending. Like maybe her spending is outpacing her liquidity in a way that's
maybe Kylie will get us out of this recession.
By spending?
Yeah.
Trickle down economics.
I think she like, I think that's interesting. Maybe what could she be spending on that she wasn't already spending or that she doesn't already have? Like, what else can you buy?
I think it becomes almost like an addiction, I would imagine, where you have to spend more and more to get your fix because it's like, okay, this used to be exciting. Buying this bag, this expensive bag was exciting. Now it's like I have 700 expensive bags. So that's not really like exciting for me anymore. Now I need the plane. And I mean to take the plane instead of,
wait,
you know,
that's like a thing.
I used to just take the plane across the country. Now I need to take the plane 50 miles from here. It's like probably, you need more to like get that rush of like, I'm like living the life, you know?
There is a thing that I've read about. It's like, it's like just when you start to spend money, you have to keep spending money. It's like a, in order for you to stop, you have to like really cold turkey stop. It's a thing and I can't remember what it's called. An addiction-ish. No, it's not an addiction. It's like a phenomenon that happens in your, in like our behavior. Well, what is it called? What is it?
I know what you're talking about because I've read that actually, and I read it as compared to like binge eating. Where people, and that basically people who binge eat tend to binge spend. Like that's kind of a, it's a parallel, I think, in the way that like it works in the brain where like once you're sort of like on a roll, you can't stop until you stop and then it becomes easier to not spend.
Yeah, right. You have to stop. Like that was really hard when like we moved into the house. I was just like, okay, I need to buy this. Then I need to buy that. I was like, oh, well, now I need to get this. Well, now I need to get that. And it was just, and then I was like, hold on, like stop cold turkey. I don't need all this shit right now. It's too much shit. Like yeah. you get the table. You need a chair. You need a fucking umbrella. Right. You need a plate. And I'm like,
I felt that way on Prime Day.
I don't need it. Yeah.
Like, what can I buy? What can I buy? Right. Yeah.
I think that's like right before the wedding, like before your wedding, like right yes. up until your wedding, the last minute spending, I think, I remember being a lot like that where it was like, oh, just like throw in one more like extra just in case like of we're whatever thing, here. Place yeah. card. Like I think that was like at the, I remember at the end just accumulating so many like small charges. Whereas like in the beginning or in the middle of wedding planning, I was like much more like, oh, do we need this? Like let's plan it more. But at the end, you're just sort of like, okay, we got to make sure everything's here. And it becomes harder to stop like, oh, we'll just throw in that extra thing. Or when they ask you if at the hotel, do you want this, you know, do you want an extra, do you want a massage? Like you might not think, oh, I'll be getting, you might not have been right. planning to get a massage, but it's like, oh, fuck it. I'll just get a massage too. You know, that kind of thing.
It says that happens when you're like in the need of control. So I guess that makes also sense with like the binge eating, like when you need a sense of control and a lot of times overspending, I'm Googling the psychology of spending, happens when like after a sudden event, like you might lose your job or like something happens and then you're just like, I need to like sort of, it's like a compulsion.
Yeah. Compulsion.
Yeah. which is interesting, but I really just like to imagine what Kylie's spending on.
I'm sure she finds something.
I don't know. Like, where do you...
Like, shopping. I think she's buying what more can you clothes, buy? Stuff, bags, shoe, like, bags.
But that is that helping her? Is she feeling fulfilled, I wonder?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's just like, doesn't she have... My question is, like, how does she not already have all of the, like...
Because there's always new
stuff.
Clothes
and the bags. Yeah, but like...
You get an adrenaline rush. She's just looking to get that high again.
It's from a like high. Buying something. It's a feeling of instant gratification.
Yeah. I know it well.
And she's probably excited that she has now another kid to like buy a life-size dollhouse for or whatever the thing is. You know what I mean? Like you can you can get creative. That's when and then you're like, oh, I can throw like an insane birthday party. I'll get the rush there. I'll get the like... I'll buy a horse, whatever.
Like custom stuff. Right. Like once you've bought everything that's like available, you can start going custom, I guess. Like then it's like, oh, maybe get Stormy like I have 6 Cartier bracelets. Maybe Stormy needs that now. And then it's
right.
Yeah, I get it. Once you have the kid, it's like, oh, I can start with them from zero. She doesn't have any Chanel bags yet.
Yeah. No, now she definitely does.
Stormy.
But
that's wild.
Important to keep a budget.
So do you think Kylie is who we're going to be sending to the Cayman Islands to?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
To learn her lesson.
Though. He's back from the Caymans. He's been spotted in L.A.
I mean, I would after that whole thing last week, I would come back for the Caymans if
because
I were
Robert Downey Jr. is like his stan. He's supporting him, and Robert Downey Jr. is basically sponsoring him. Like he's like a, you know, one of those kids. What's a
from like AA
in an AA type of way?
No. Like when you sponsor a kid from a different country.
Oh, when you sponsor a child.
Yeah, that's what basically. What's it called?
Save the Children.
What do you mean when you sponsor a child from a different country?
You know, like when you like pay adopt? Money. Well, no, when you pay money.
Foreign exchange student. Yeah, that's what it is. Oh. It's like, so yeah, he's like sponsoring him. Like he's a foreign exchange student from the Cayman Islands. He's like making his.
He's living in his house?
Living with him. Yeah, that's what it says. He Hammer flew back to LA to stay with Downey Jr. because of all the press in the Caymans, and he's now providing him financial assistance.
Oh, the press in LA is much better. Like, they don't even have to pay to fly.
Maybe he'll be a barista in LA.
Yeah. It's a little annoying because it's like, you know, I don't know.
What's the deal with Robert Downey Jr.?
Famous actor to just kind of like,
what's his, he was in all of those Blinds. Like back in the day,
he was in the Blinds, but he was also writing Blinds about an actual person. Hammer? He was writing Blinds. No, Robert Downey Jr. He was one of the people who exposed the Blinds around Hayden Panettiere and Diana Jenkins, and that whole like Room 23 book.
Yeah, he was
situation.
The one.
He was the one who he basically wrote. He was writing on a blind item forum that he was like a famous actor, kind of in a Gossip Girlish way, that he was aware of all of these certain things, and he spilled all this tea. You can read about it. Like if you could Google
it. How do they know it was him?
Because people figured out that it was him and that he had this like burner account. If you Google it, there's a whole explanation on an old Gawker article. I came across it again while I was deep diving into Diana Jenkins. But yeah, I think that brings it kind of in an interesting full circle.
It is interesting.
Does Robert Downey Jr. run Hollywood?
I think yes.
I think he has a lot of influence.
I think when I think of Robert Downey Jr., I think of that book by Bret Easton Ellis. What's it called, Sammy?
Less Than Zero.
Well, like, I think of him.
That? Should I read this book? Is it good?
Yeah, it's really
good. It's really short. It was, I would read that again, like just to see how I think about it. Now, it was Bret Easton Ellis, and it was kind of about these like kids in LA who were like very wealthy and like burnouts and like really into drugs and kind of just like writing about their like apathy and their fucked up escapades.
It reminds me of him because he was also sort of like that vibe, like back in the, like when he was in the movies in the 80s, like those
Bright Lights, those Big City,
famous movies that he was in.
Bright Lights, Big City? Who wrote that?
Bret Easton Ellis. I think he did, but that's not the book. It's Less Than Zero.
Okay.
Was that him? No, that's Jay McInerney.
Wait, did you know that he was with Sarah Jessica Parker from 1984 to 1991?
Bret Easton Ellis?
No, Robert Downey Jr.
I didn't know that.
You know, I didn't really know any movies that Robert Downey Jr. was in until Tropic Thunder.
Oh, you know what? Why I think of him is because he was in the movie Less Than Zero.
Oh, that makes sense.
Should I just watch the movie?
No,
the book was... The book was way better than the movie.
Did you even read the book?
Yeah, like Rat Pack. That was like weird science and he was in all that stuff. That's why I think of him for that. That makes a lot of sense. But guys, I think that's it.
We're sending Kylie to the Cayman Islands to replace...
Which jet are we sending her on, though?
She has to fly commercial.
Commercial.
She can fly Delta Comfort Plus.
Fine. We wouldn't want... Fine. Comfort Plus. She can have Comfort Plus.
Until she learns her lesson.
And then next week we can see like who saves her.
She has to rent out several timeshares in order to get released.
Yeah, until she gets out, she has to sell them.
Working just isn't really her priority right now.
That's court.
I know, but, you know, still works. I know.
Not nobody's priority in that except Chris's. Although I really want to watch her masterclass. It came out, Kris Jenner's masterclass. Like really intrigued by it. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, why not?
I'm not signed up for masterclass. Anyway,
my mom and I signed up for that once, and we like didn't even like really do it. We did like
same. I signed up for it and I watched like two things, like, and then I was like, I'm not gonna watch this.
I'm taking Spanish.
Oh, cool.
On Babbel. You drop that at the end.
It's like 15 minutes a day, and it's kind of fun. Mike overhears me. He's like, what are you doing? What have you learned so far?
Yeah, give us a sentence.
Wait, you're putting me on the spot. I was away last week, so I didn't do it, but I did it the week before.
Maybe Diane could tutor you.
No, I was really good. I was like getting all the perfect scores on the little tests too.
I did Rosetta Stone back in the day for Hebrew, and I was really good. But then when you don't practice, you just forget everything.
Well, that's why I want to do Spanish, like, because I feel like Spanish, I'll have a lot more ability to use that living in here. Yeah. Like I did. We just took French in high school. I have no one to speak French to at all.
Can you speak any French anymore?
I understand. Petit. It's un peu.
Oh, yeah. There you go. French was my worst subject in school.
I loved French.
I was so bad at it.
She loves the crepe maker.
Anyway,
I'll
give you a bigger update. I mean, next week I'll practice before.
Yeah, prepare a sentence for us next week. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you could do it all in Spanish.
Okay, well, adios for now. That's it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
Follow me at Sammy.
And I'm Eddie Lean. And be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple or Spotify. And tell all of your friends about the show if you love it, because we have fun doing it. So that would be great. Thank you. Talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
Hasta pronto.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.